This morning we're going to continue on with our toxic behaviors series. And what I'm going to ask you to do is just to bow your heads just for a second. I was thinking as we were worshiping this morning about how this message is a message that really needs the Holy Spirit's work in each of our lives. It's more than just a communication piece, more than just an exhortation or some kind of speech. We need the Spirit to do something in our hearts. And so I want to take a moment to pray for you before we go right into our message. So Father, I'm asking that your Spirit would come and that Holy Spirit, you would shine a light into our hearts. There may be some things inside of our life that we have thought of as minor. There may be some things that are in our minds or in our hearts or things that are we do that, God, we have been hiding for so long. And I'm asking, Spirit of God, that as I speak, would you place your finger on our hearts? Not for the sake of condemnation, but for the sake of growth in our life with you, for the sake of honoring you with everything that we are. So, Spirit of God, would you come? Come alongside this message, I pray, and would you speak to each of us, including me? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, I don't know if you've ever received a last-minute phone call from a friend who says, hey, I'm coming over to your house. And it's one of those phone calls where you have not done your weekly house clean. You know, it's maybe the day before or 2 days before, and you're planning on doing the full house clean, and maybe you're one of those, you know, obsessive, compulsive individuals who just cleans all the time. But that's not everybody, and maybe you're one of those people who's got a night of the week that you clean, and it's a Wednesday night, and you get the phone call and it's Tuesday, and the friend says, hey, I'm coming over to your place, and I'll be over in 30 minutes. And panic strikes your heart, and you think to yourself, my house is a mess. And so you quickly pull out the vacuum cleaner, and you vacuum all the carpets very quickly, do a quick sweep. You move things around so that things are a little bit tidy. But then there are certain things that have piled up in various places, like that home office desk, or the kitchen table, or maybe your kitchen counter. Things that have piled up, and you don't know what to do with it. It's the mess. It's the mess stuff that you just, it has no place, or there's not a spot, an immediate spot for it. And so if you're like me, or you're like others like me, you may take that mess and stick it into that special drawer. Does anybody know what I'm talking about, the special drawer? That drawer that has no organizational element to it. Or maybe that closet, you stuff it into the closet, praying that the guests will not open that door, because you know that there could be a serious injury if they open the door, because all the things from every other visit have been piled up in there. And you take your mess, and what you do is you instead of putting it away or dealing with it properly, you simply hide it. You simply cover it up. It's not that the mess is gone. You've just done a good job of hiding it so that nobody's able to see it. And your friend comes to your house, and they look around and go, wow, you keep your house so clean. And you proudly stand there and go, well, thank you so much. It's a lot of work. A lot of work. You haven't really dealt with the mess. It's still there. It's just hiding. And friends, the truth is that, like that scenario, for many Christians, the same is true with private practices in our life. There are some things that we do privately, things that are in our minds, things that are in our hearts, things that we watch or listen to, things that we say, things that we get away with because nobody else is able to see it. And rather than properly dealing with the private practices, rather than actually getting those things cleaned up, for some of us, we simply hide it. We cover it up. We make sure that nobody's able to see it. And so that when people see us on a Sunday, and when people see us during the week, they see a nice tablecloth in our lives. They see things looking so well. And they think to themselves, man, that person has got their act together. Pastor Nick, would you just pass me the other remote? I grabbed the wrong one. They think, man, that person has really got their act together. But all that's taken place is that we've hidden the private practices so nobody can see them. Public practices are the things that we work the most on. They're the things that we want to make sure are clean. The things that everybody can see. We work so hard that when we're in front of people, we're not dropping certain language. We're not being critical of others. We're not exposing things that would be evil or would say that we're out of alignment with God. The public behavior. But the private practices are those things that are hidden, that nobody can see. Jesus confronts us not just about our public practices, but he also confronts us about our private practices. The private things that are in our lives. You see, the private things are just as harmful as the public things, if not more. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, Jesus addresses this. He said, "You heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." Then in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 to 28, Jesus says this, "You've heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now check this out. Jesus is distinguishing between public practices and private practices. He says murder and adultery, those are the public things. I mean, friends, if you commit murder, people are going to know. People are going to know. It's going to be all over the Ottawa news. It's a public thing. Adultery. The truth is that if you commit adultery, people are going to know. It's a public thing. But Jesus says, hey, you're so proud that you're able to be void of those two things. You're able to keep a clean slate on those public practices. But I want you to know that the private practices are just as bad. The anger that you have in your heart towards somebody else is just as bad as the murder. And that rage that comes against that person is just as bad as going out and murdering it. But you can hide it. You can cover it up. That lust in your heart, that desire for something that doesn't belong to you, you may never expose that to other people, but it's just as bad as committing adultery. The private practices need to be dealt with as much as the public practices, friends. We must pay attention to the private practices in our lives. We must, because those are the ones that nobody can see, and they're the easiest ones to get away with. So what do? First of all, I want to walk you through some principles that I think you need to pay attention to. Private practices prevent advancement. It's the first thing I want you to grab hold of. Private practices prevent advancement. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 says, "Whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." So the wisdom writer, Solomon, he says, if you try to hide your sin, you try to hide the private practices, you're not going to prosper. And this word prosper means to rush or to advance. It's this idea that you're moving ahead. You're continuously going on. As a Christian, God wants you to be always moving ahead. The moment you've stood still, the moment you stop moving is the moment that there's a concern. The moment that growth stops taking place, there's a moment of concern. We should constantly be rushing, moving forward, advancing. And Solomon says, hey, if you try to keep the private practices hidden, you try to conceal the sin, I'm going to tell you that you won't continue to move ahead in some area of your life, some area of success. You see, private practices stop us from succeeding in areas of our life. I don't know if you've ever been on a treadmill. How many people have been on a treadmill before? Okay, so you know that a treadmill won't take you very far. My wife and I have been going on walks each night, and I'll measure it on my Fitbit and know the distance. I can actually see the map of where I've gone. But if I get on a treadmill, I can put the same amount of time, the same amount of energy. In fact, I can put more energy into the treadmill, and I'll look at the map of my Fitbit app and find that I've gone nowhere. I've just been running in the same place. I just kept going. And what Solomon is saying is that when we don't deal with the private things, the private practices in our life, we can keep trying harder, longer, putting more energy, more effort into something, but we're on a treadmill and we can't figure out why in that relationship we're not growing, why in a financial place we're not moving ahead, why spiritually we're stuck, why we're stuck in so many areas of our life. We don't understand why we're not moving ahead. Aren't we doing everything right? And what Solomon's saying is the reason why you're not is because of the private practice that's been concealed in your life. No matter how much effort you've put in, no matter how much time you've given towards some areas of your life, relationships, finances, spirituality, your own personal growth, if you find yourself stunted, it may have something to do with this, the private practices. Where do we see this in Scripture? Well, in the book of Joshua, we're told that Joshua has led the Israelites in a great victory against the people of Jericho. Great walls come down after 7 days of marching around, blowing trumpets, and just an incredible victory. The victory's taken place, and the Israelites are just so confident. Their energy level is high. Momentum is moving forward. I mean, there's excitement in the camp. And one day, as they are continuing to move forward in where God wants them to go, to the promised land, they realize there's another enemy before them. It's the people of Ai. And as they're about to approach the people of Ai, Joshua pauses and he thinks to himself, we're going to have to come up with a battle plan. And he does something so unique. He fails to inquire of God as to what God wants them to do. He's so confident. He's so confident in the fact that he's just won this great victory. And this is just a small little town, just a hamlet of a community. So he sends a small amount of soldiers to take on the people of Ai. And to Joshua's surprise, rather than advancing in God's call to the promised land, they're actually defeated. They're held. They remain in the same spot. They're not going further. I mean, God's got a plan. He's got a purpose for their life. He's got a plan for their life. But they fail to move forward in the purposes of God, and Joshua can't figure out why. He has done a masterful job of assembling the people who should be able to take out this little hamlet of a community, but nothing's happened. And so he does what most of us do. When we fail to see growth, when we fail to see advancement, when we fail to see the rushing forward in our spiritual lives, what do? We moan and we complain to God. Oh God, come on! I should be further ahead in this area of my life. Oh God, come on! We should have greater success. This God, I'm giving everything. What's the deal? And that's what Joshua does. God, this is so frustrating. I should be further ahead. We should be advancing. We should have taken on this community of Ai. What is the deal? And God lets him complain for a season. And finally, he says, okay, are you done? Are you finished? He says, there's an issue here. And friends, we're going to find out that the issue is a secret sin. You see, there was a guy named Achan who decided that even though God said that they weren't to take any of the treasure from Jericho, that he would just take something small from the treasure, just something small that nobody would know. And he would go into his tent and he would hide it inside of his tent, and he would cover it up and he would put it underneath the floor, in the dirt. He'd dig down and put that private thing there. Nobody would ever know. It was just a small thing, but it was a private sin. A private practice that he hid. And God said, you've got sin in your camp. You've got a problem in your nation. The reason why you can't advance, you can't move forward, is because there's something hidden that needs to be dealt with. Let me ask you this question. Why do you think that God prevents success in our life in certain areas when we hide private things? Why do you think that God doesn't act graciously towards us and allow us just to move forward a little bit, even though we're hiding something that's so small, something that's so insignificant? Well, I think we need to go back to the story for a second. Two things with the defeat of Ai. The first is this. Joshua himself has his own private sin. I mean, we focus so much on Achan and him hiding this element from the city of Jericho. We focus so much on him that we forget that Joshua's got his own little private practice in his life that's hidden. And the private practice for Joshua is that he's proud. He's the leader. He's had success. He's done what no other nation could do with a group of people who've spent no time in military training, who've been out in the wilderness for 40 years. I mean, he has proven himself, and there's pride in his heart. He chooses not to inquire of God because he's the man. There's pride in Joshua's life. And so part of the problem is something that nobody can see. It's the pride. If he had gone to God, God would have told him that Achan was hiding something. But Joshua's got his own private sin, his own private practice. And then there's Achan, who just disobeyed God in the small thing. God surely won't care about this one thing. God surely, I mean, I know most things I obey God with, but this thing, no, he doesn't really matter to him. Those are the two things that are going on. Disobedience and pride. You see, if God allowed both of these things to continue on without stopping the Israelites from moving forward, then God is giving both Joshua, Achan, and the children of Israel the permission to do whatever they want, to ignore what God has to say, to ignore God's involvement in their life. He is giving them a blank check, a hall pass to do whatever they want with no consequences. And God doesn't need to be in the story. You see, the reason why God will sometimes stunt you in your growth, the reason why God will sometimes stop you in your tracks, is not because he's being mean, but because there are things that he wants you to deal with inside, the private practices that if you don't deal with, it will be a sign to everybody else that you are able to do whatever you want. And that God's word and God's direction just don't matter. You see, when you're stuck in an area of your life, do an examination to see if there are things in your life that are telling God, I'll do whatever I want. God will never allow advancement if what's inside of you is not in alignment with his will. And friends, I want to see this church go forward. I want to see you go forward in your own spiritual lives. But scripture tells us that we will hit roadblocks if we hide instead of dealing with our own messes, with our own private practices. Private practices will prevent us from advancing. Number two, private practices create inner chaos. David writes this in Psalm 32, verses 3 to 5. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I'll confess my transgression to the Lord, and you will forgive the guilt of my sin. And David's holding on to some private practice. We don't actually know what it is. We don't know if it's the lust that he had for Bathsheba. We don't know if it's the affair moment where he actually calls Bathsheba to his room and has sex with her. We don't know if it's the arranged death of Bathsheba's husband Uriah. We don't know which private thing it is, which private practice it is, but there is something in David's life that he doesn't let the reader know, something in his heart, something in his life that is secret, that he's hidden, a private practice. And what he says is that it's causing him some trouble. It's causing him some inner chaos. He says his bones are wasting away. It's this inner agony that feels like a bad case of arthritis. Always there, always painful. He says that there's a heavy hand of God. It's the deep conviction rather than the light of God's presence. It's interesting when people are not able to enjoy the presence of God. It's often because there's something going on in their hearts. It has nothing to do with God. It usually has to do with the person. He's not able to deal with the delight of God. He only feels the heavy hand of God. And his strength is sapped from him. What brought him life is now gone. The promised blessings of sin are lost to inner chaos, and the joy of God's presence is gone. Listen, friends, when inner joy, when inner peace, when those things get replaced by an inner chaos, it is an indicator of a private practice within your life that needs to be dealt with. Let me say it again. When the inner joy and the inner peace and the inner delight of God's presence gets removed and there's an inner chaos within your life, it is a sign, a clear sign, that God is wanting you to deal with a private practice in your heart or in your life. There's a story I read this 2 weeks ago when I wrote this message of an Eastern paper that reported a story of a lady who was driving her car. She is driving her car and she looks into the rearview mirror and she sees a van behind her that is right on her tail. I don't know about you, I hate it when people are driving too close. I keep slamming on my brakes to make sure that they back off. And she's trying to do that. She's trying to stop this guy. She presses on the brakes, but he just keeps getting closer, and so she starts to panic. She continues to drive, and she's swerving in and out of cars, and the van continues to swerve in and out of cars, and it's following her. And then there's the light's about to turn red, and she pushes through the light, goes through a red light, and she looks back. Sure enough, the van goes through a red light also. She keeps trying everything she can to lose the van, but it stays close to her. She finally pulls down an alley and she jumps out of the car. And as she looks back, the van pulls there too. And a man jumps out also. And she starts to scream as she begins to run. As she looks back, she realizes that this man who's been driving this van doesn't chase her, but gets to her car, opens the back door of her vehicle, and grabs a man and throws him out. What the paper reported was that somehow this van driver had realized that there was a man hiding in the back of her vehicle. This man was a known rapist in the area. And this man was hiding there waiting for the moment that he could rape this lady. And that which was causing her inner chaos, that which was causing her panic, was simply the presence of somebody who was trying to help her out. Friends, when there is inner chaos in your life, it is not God being mean to you. It is God chasing you down in his van, trying to help you out from something that will destroy you. It is the presence of God coming after you saying, don't you know there's something in your backseat that will take you out? I need to help you. I'm creating some panic, some chaos inside of you as a warning sign to let you know that you've got to deal with that which is inside. To deal with that which is inside. But when we deal with those private practices, the inner chaos leaves. You see, as long as they're there, the inner chaos will stay. But when we deal with them and we give them up to God and we take the tablecloth off and we allow God to see what's there, then God deals with it. Charles Swindoll says, like a cooling, cleansing shower on a hot, sweaty day, God's forgiveness washes away our sin and our guilt. You see, God brings a relief to the inner chaos when we give up our sin, the private things in our lives. Let me ask you this morning. What's going on in your heart? Is it chaos or is it peace? Is it turmoil or is it the joy of God? When you're in a worship service or you go to a place of prayer, is there the heavy hand of God or is there delight in his presence? And if that which is inside of you feels heavy, it is simply God's mercy trying to lead you to a place to get rid of that which is in your back seat. Thirdly, private practices eventually go public. Let me ask you a question. What if I told you, hey, for this next point, I've got a friend here who I know very well, I've known for many years. He has a gift of prophecy, and he's able to read things in people's lives that they could never know. And so what he's going to do now for the next 10 minutes is he's going to go one by one to each person in this room and he's going to publicly declare your sin, the stuff in your life, the stuff that's going on that nobody knows about, just so that you can get rid of it and be freed by God. How many of you would start to squirm in your seats? How many of us would squirm if we had somebody who could read every piece of our mail? You see, we don't want complete exposure. We would never want every thought that we've thought, every word that we've said, every action that we've done to be exposed before everybody. Because friends, at times there are things that get into our life that we don't want anybody else to see. And what do we read in Luke chapter 12? It's this. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known." Jesus says, private practices will get known. They will. You can go for a season. You can go for a season where they're hidden, but eventually they're going to come out. And listen to what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, verse 24. "Remember, the sins of some people are obvious." We know that. I mean, we can look around and see, okay, that person always gets angry, sinner. That person's always talking corrupt, sinner. That person has got this issue, sinner. I mean, some of it's obvious. But then Paul says, leading them to certain judgment. But, there are others whose sins will not be revealed until later. What's he saying? There are things that are so public, everybody knows about them. But there are some things that are private in our lives. Some things that nobody knows about. And those things will be hidden for a season, but eventually those things will become public. Eventually, you see, it's the storehouse mentality that we talked about a few weeks ago. Whatever you put into your life will eventually come out of your life. You fill your life with anger, anger will come out. You fill your life with resentment, resentment will come out. You fill your life with pride, pride will eventually come out. You fill your life with lust, lust will come out. You fill your life with greed, greed will come out. You fill your life with something, the storehouse mentality will always prove true. At some point, no matter how hard you try to hide it, no matter how much you try to protect it, the tablecloth will slip off. And eventually it will get known. We may think that we're doing great, but friends, I'm telling you, things that get in our hearts eventually become exposed. There's a story in the Bible about King Uzziah. This guy was a man of God. I mean, in 2 Kings 15:3, it says, "He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord." He's the type of man you want to follow, always looking to God for direction, always trying to please God. He's a godly man. He's under the guidance of the prophet Zechariah, and he is killing it in the spiritual realm. He is leading with righteousness. And because he's leading with righteousness, he keeps having success after success after success. But as time goes on, he starts to believe that his success is based upon himself. And pride starts to slip into his heart. And friends, pride is something that is a private practice that is so hard for us to identify and even accept. But pride gets into his life, and he has it deep inside of him. And he's like, "Man, look at me. I'm really doing well. I'm leading this thing so well. I'm leading it so well." The Bible tells us that one day, he goes into the temple to burn incense. The high priest of that temple is so upset. He comes and he confronts King Uzziah. "King, you can't do this. This is only as God has established. This is only to be done by the priest. You can't do this." And then 80 priests come in and they confront King Uzziah and tell him that he's not supposed to do this. King Uzziah refuses to listen. He ignores correction because of pride. And let me just say this on the side. Whenever we see a person who ignores correction, that's a sign of pride. Whenever we see somebody who's trying to buck against people who are speaking words of life into them, that's pride. And pride will destroy you. And what the Bible says is that he ignores the high priest. He ignores the 80 other priests because pride is in his life. And what he does is as he goes to offer incense to the Lord strikes him with leprosy and he has to leave the temple immediately. That which had been hidden, that nobody saw, the pride in his life, that he had under control, he had under wraps, the tablecloth started to come off and it eventually came out. The private will eventually become public. Privately, Cain kills Abel. Privately, Eve and Adam disobey God. Privately, Joseph's brothers are filled with jealousy. Nobody knows about what's in their heart. Privately, Jonah flees. Nobody knows the call on his life. Privately, David stands on his balcony and he lusts over Bathsheba. Privately. But publicly, Eve's sin gets imputed to us all. Adam's sin gets imputed to us all. P- publicly, Cain is marked forever so that people could see the private thing. Publicly, Joseph's hidden actions, or the hidden actions against Joseph, are confronted in a palace. Publicly, ungodly shipmates find out about Jonah's rebellion. Publicly, Uriah and David's son die. I'm here today to tell you that what is private will eventually become public. It's only God's mercy that is allowing us to hold things privately in our lives. And what I mean by that is God is giving us time to deal with it before he brings about public shame or public destruction. He's allowing us a season to allow things to be under wraps, and he's waiting for us to take it off and go, God, here it is, God. But if we wait too long, and with God's mercy, he'll take the tablecloth off himself, and that will be much more painful. God only allows the private things to stay in our lives out of his own mercy, so that we would respond. Never treat God's patient mercy as his ambivalence towards your private practices. Never treat that. When private practices become public, not only will it bring shame to you, it will bring shame to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last story. There's a man who wanted to feed his snake. He had this big snake. I thought about Scott Newman when I was reading this. And so he went out and bought a little mouse. And so he went and he placed the mouse over the tank and dropped it into the snake, whatever it's called, tank, snake tank. The snake happened to be asleep at this point and didn't recognize that the mouse was there. And so the mouse did something so unique. As this man watched, the mouse went over and took some of the chips that were around and tried to cover the snake, covered it up so that the snake couldn't see him. And after some time of covering the snake with the chips, the mouse thought that it was secure. As the man looked in, he realized that this mouse would be destined for death for sure, because no amount of covering would prevent this mouse from being eaten. The snake would eventually wake up and kill the mouse. And as the man was thinking about this, he had great mercy on the mouse, and he reached in and he picked up the mouse by the tail and pulled it out to rescue it. Friends, I want to tell you, the way to deal with the private things in your life is not to cover it up. It will destroy you. It will eat you. The only way that you can deal with private things is to ask God's hand to come in and rescue you himself. You need God's rescue. You see, it's only his intervention that will help get rid of the private things in our lives. We can try so much in our own strength and our own ability. We can try to deal with our own pride and our own greed and our own lust and our own anger and our own unforgiveness, but it's only the intervention of God pulling us out that can save us. No amount of covering will ever deal with it. We need the master to pull us from the tank of sin. And this is what the scripture says. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us for all our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God, I've got some private practices in my life. I'm not going to hide them anymore. They're yours. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, and by your Spirit, give me the strength not to be greedy. Give me the strength not to be disobedient. Give me the strength not to be lustful. Give me the strength not to be angry. Give me the strength to forgive. God, by your intervention, give me the strength I need not to watch that, to listen to that, to be part of those private conversations. Give me what I need. This is yours. And in those moments of handing over what has been hidden, the Bible promises us, it promises us, that God will be faithful to what you've done, and he will release those private things from your life. And not only will he take it, he will forgive you from everything you've done and make you clean again. We hand it over to God. You see, friends, private practices block our advancement. Private practices create inner chaos, and private practices eventually will go public. Next year, I'm going to be doing a number of series that are based upon revival. I'm going to do a number of series on holiness and on prayer and just a number of things, because I feel like God is calling us to a new place. I feel like God wants to deal with deeper things. And so, friends, today I want the Spirit not to bring condemnation, but the heavy hand of God to say, it's enough of hiding that private practice. Jesus, I'm asking by your Spirit that you would point your finger into my heart and into my friends' hearts who are here and those who are online. God, there are things in each of our lives at times. Sometimes they're hidden there for so long that we don't even remember that they're there. And sometimes, God, there are things that we're trying so hard to keep under cover because we don't want to give it up or we don't think it's that big of a deal. But God, some things in our lives that we've been privately practicing, thoughts, things in our heart, actions. I pray today that your Spirit would speak. I pray that he would place the heavy hand on our lives. And we would recognize that heavy hand of chaos is not the meanness of God, but it's his grace. It's his mercy. It's him in the van chasing us down. And today I pray that we would hand over the private things and we would call on you for intervention to pull us from our dangerous situation. God, let the block on our advancement be gone. Let us move forward as we hand over things to you. God, take away the inner chaos as we hand over our private practices. And God, I pray that we would maintain the gospel witness and our own public reputation because we've dealt with the private so that it doesn't need to go public. God, would you deal with the things in our heart and bring us into alignment with your will, whatever it be. We give it to you today. And so, Jesus, I'm asking that you would just do great things in this place and in people's lives this week. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.